Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways, but you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We all became like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous deeds like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Did you hear in that first verse where it says, oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down? I'm sure at times we've prayed a prayer like that or something similar to that. At times when we have devastation happening within our own lives or when we see evil prevalent in our world and we see suffering or we hear of suffering. And at times we say, you know, we worship God who is almighty, all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing, the God of redemption, the God of salvation. And so at times we want to echo this prayer, tear open the heavens and come down and straighten everything out. Make it all right. Make it all good. Make it all peaceful. Make it the way it was meant to be. Advent is the season of anticipation of Christ coming into the world. But the first Sunday of Advent has always been the Sunday in which we emphasize the second coming of Christ. And the prayer here of the prophet in this book of Isaiah is also the prayer that we share as well, awaiting the time when Christ will come again. And all things will be made new, and we will be with God, and God will be with us, and everything will be back the way in which God intended it to be. In the meanwhile, we are the people of waiting. We are the people who anticipate the coming of Christ again. We are the people who look for that with joyous understanding of the victory that God will give at that time. And then he says, I wish you would tear open the heavens and come down and straighten everything out. And he says, so that. Remember those words, so that. I've mentioned that to you before. So that. The scriptures are filled with that two-word phrase. So that. Tear open the heavens so that the mountains would quake at your presence. The mountains would quake at your presence. When we have our grandchildren, our five grandchildren, or how many happen to be in the car with us, a lot of times we play games of singing songs, sort of like the TV show where you sing and the judges can boo you. That's what you do in the car. If you're singing and they boo you, you have to quit. And somebody, they normally let Renee sing all the way through. They boo me, so I have to quit singing. But they know that inevitably they'll say, okay, sing your song, and they know what I'll sing. Climb every mountain out of God, about to say Gone with the Wind, Sound of Music. Climb every mountain, except that I don't sing it that well, so I exaggerate how bad I can sing that song. I can show you if you'd like to listen to it. But probably no. You really don't want to hear that. So I start singing. Normally, I only get Climb Every, and they boo and stop me. But there's an agenda behind why I picked that song, not just because it's easy to make it sound horrible, but also because I want them to hear those words, climb every mountain. I want them to get that stuck in their heads. Climb every mountain. If you face a mountain, you need to climb that mountain, no matter what, because I know that as they live out their lives, they're going to be faced with mountains. That's the condition in which we live in the world. But I also know that God gives us the strength to climb every mountain. The prophet here is saying, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. I would take the liberty of saying, so that your mountains that you face would quake at the presence of God, God's power in our lives, the anticipation of Christ coming again, but also the presence of Christ through the Holy Spirit with us right now, so that your mountains will quake at the presence that God gives you through Jesus Christ, no matter what those mountains might be. Your mountains would quake as you begin to climb the mountains, so that, tear open the heavens, so that we can understand the fire that kindles, as he says in verse 2, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known. Fire that changes things. Fire that kindles the brushwood. Fire that makes the water to boil, so that God's name might be known. Set our hearts on fire so that we're able to accomplish these things. Tear open the heavens. Come down. Make our mountains quake in fear of the power of God, and then set our hearts on fire so that we can accomplish everything that God has called us to accomplish as God's people. But why does the prophet ask? Why does the prophet request this of God? Tear open the heavens so that the mountains will quake, so that the fire will be kindled. The prophet gives the explanation as to why this is so very necessary. The latter part of verse 6, we all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. We fade. We fade like the leaf in the autumn that fades from its bright green to whatever color, and then falls off the tree and then is blown away by the wind and turned into debris. We fade. We're supposed to be people of excitement, people who are filled with the zeal of loving God and the passion of serving God in our world. And yet, by our iniquities, but perhaps not just by our iniquities, but just by the process of living out our days, the process of finding other things to be more pressing than our relationship with God, other things to be more pressing than developing our discipleship with God, we begin to fade away. We lose our excitement over what it means to represent Christ into the world. That begins to fade, and we lose who we are as God's people. I pray, indeed, that during this season of anticipation, during this season of waiting as we remember the birth of Christ, but also of waiting for Christ to come again, that you will be blessed not just with hope, love, peace, joy, but that you will be blessed with excitement over what it means that Christ is coming again. Let us pray.